And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Friends, this is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. And today we have an edition of Secrets. Oh, I love to unravel secrets, volume 151 today. And let me just tell you some things we're going to be discussing. We'll be talking about some things that are, well, just over the horizon. According to one of the world's top inventors, a high-tech whiz, a futurist, he says all kinds of things, nanorobots, incredible new drugs, just amazing discoveries are ahead. We'll be looking also at Barack Obama's origins, his roots. As you know, I did an entire program called Red Star Over America recently, and a lot of people have written me asking me about that. A lot of people were shocked when they found out the background in the history of Barack Obama, his family. We'll talk about that a little bit, and we'll go all the way back to Seattle, Washington, to find out a little bit about our president. We also will discuss the Supreme Court of Israel and a ruling they recently made. Atomic bombs. Have we been giving atomic weapons to Israel? I believe we have, and, well, an Air Force Brigadier General just ended up dead because of this very knowledge. Talk about dogs today. I'm a dog lover, but did you know dogs can die of nose cancer if they sniff too much cocaine? Well, we'll discuss that. Oh, we'll head off to Canada. I'll talk about the Order of Skull and Bones, new disclosure that came out of that. And then a lot of people are asking, and they're worried, very much worried about the economy today. We're going to look at the gold markets. What are the gold markets going to do? What about oil? And you'll want to know about this banking collapse. Are the banks going to be nationalized? What about the automakers, the airlines? Is this the Leninist Republic? Is this what happened in the Soviet Union in 1917? Is this what Rahm the Cruel, Emmanuel, and Barack Obama are really up to? Well, a lot of things are laid out in the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Oh, yes, we're going to read from the Protocols of Zion, one of the most hated books in the world because of its revealing information. We'll hear about a dirty job. There's a lady here who says, I'm in a dirty work right now. My work's pretty dirty, but she wants to get in something even dirtier. She's a pretty beautiful lady. I don't know why she'd want to do that, but... well, you figure it out for yourself after we talked about it. We'll look some more at Yale University and Order of Skull and Bones. And, oh, there's all kinds of things we're going to be looking at today. So let's just get started, shall we? I think we're going to have a real good time in this. First of all, I want to mention to you a man named Ray Kurzweil. Mr. Kurzweil is quite an inventor. He's the guy that basically invented the synthesizer, the music system that we have today. And, he's author of a book called Fantastic Voyage, published by Rodell Books. And he had some very interesting things to say. And by the way, I read about this in a magazine that I get called Military Officer, the January edition. A lot of people ask me what groups that I'm a member of. Well, I'm only a member of two groups. I'm a citizen, of course, of heaven. And that's my citizenry. And then, of course, the United States and the state of Texas come second and third. So that's my citizenship, but in terms of membership, I'm only a member of one group. That's the Military Officers Association, and that's retired military officers, Navy, Army, Air Force, Marines, even Coast Guard. Really, there's no meetings to go to. I just get their magazine once a month and pay the very small dues once a year. They try to keep we retired military officers. I'm an Air Force retired. They try to keep us updated on what's going on with retired pay and what's happening now in the U.S. Armed Forces. There's all kind of articles in there about our troops in Iraq and such as that. They have a health care plan. I'm not enrolled in that, but I guess if I wanted to be, it would be a little bit like ARP, the Association of Retired Persons. Anyway, the Military Officers Association, the MOA, that's really about the only group that I'm a member of, and I get their nice magazine once a month. So it also tells me who died and who isn't. You know, you keep up all the old folks that they're getting old now that were in the Air Force with me, and every once in a while they'll have a reunion of this flying squadron or that unit or something, and you're invited to go to their reunion of military personnel. So it's a nice thing for retired officers. So that's about it, folks. I'm sorry to disappoint you. No, I'm not a member of the Bohemian Grove. I've been waiting for my invitation for some years. Every day I go to the mailbox and my invitation from the Bohemian Grove Club hasn't arrived. And the Freemasons, I suppose, you know, they'd be glad to have me. But they haven't invited me either into their clandestine meetings. The Order of Skull and Bones, of course, I was never invited as a part of that group. So I'm just an outsider. I'm telling you, folks, that's it. I'm just not wanted, except I'm in heaven. And I think they're waiting for me up there. You know, I think God is waiting for every one of his saints, no matter how important or how little in the scheme of things. And I suggest to you that what I'm doing, what I've done in my life, is probably along the lines of a very small, just a little bit of nothing in terms of God's great, great plan. But nevertheless, he's included me in it. And I'm going to take his offer. Whosoever will may come. And I said, Lord, take me. I want to be up there in the reckoning. And, you know, God was good and merciful. And really, God's given me more than I deserve over the years. I have to say that. I am absolutely a rich man. I am. I'm one of the richest men in the world. Now, you won't see Tex Moore's name on the list of a Fortune 500 magazine or whatever. You won't see me. I'm not up there with Michael Dell and Warren Buffett, the Ross Perots, the billionaires of this world. I've got more riches than they've got. You may be surprised. I got a lot of rich friends, too. They listen to this program. They're the richest people in the world. In fact, I'm going to make a statement to you right now up front. So it may make you mad. You may want to just turn off this radio. First of all, I'm going to tell you that I love hearing from rich people. I do. I get letters from time to time, quite a few from rich people. And you know, I enjoy reading their letters. In fact, I think I enjoy their letters more than I do the poor folks. And I feel sorry for the poor folks. But the rich people, I don't feel sorry for them at all. And I like to hear from them. And I like them to visit the ministry. And when they visit this ministry, I'm telling you, they're our friends. We take care of them. We show them around. And we hug their necks. I gravitate to the rich. And I'll tell you right now, I've told God a long time ago, I want my riches right here and now. Remember Benny Hinn said that in that video? A lot of people talked about that video we did, The Blind and the Dead, where evangelist Benny Hinn said, I don't want any riches in heaven. I want it right now. He was talking about money, cars, jet aircraft, Rolex watches, rings, jewelry. Well, I don't agree with Benny Hinn, but I want my riches now too. And I've got them. I'm one of the richest men in America. Considering how the world thinks, it's disgusting how rich I am. A mystery to be told very soon on this program. A revelation of sorts. I'm sure I'll be quoted and somebody will say, Tex Moore brags that he's rich, that he likes rich people better than any. That's true, though. It's a fact. Okay. According to Ray Kurzweil, this inventor, one of the top futurists in the world, he says nanorobots are in. Tiny robots the size of a blood cell, and there'll be all kinds of them. They'll inject them into you. They'll travel through your body. They'll destroy pathogens, correct DNA errors, reverse the aging process. How long? Maybe another 50 years? You'll start getting younger rather than older. It says here that intelligent nanorobots will be integrated into our brains and will greatly enhance human intelligence. Now, you know, I've discussed this. I think I was one of the first in all of Christendom to discuss the subject of nanorobots, nanotechnology. I don't think people could believe it when I talked about the nanorobots, everything that could be possible. By the way, with these nanorobots or nanotechnology, it'll be possible to regenerate all the body's tissues and organs. Have a bad kidney? Well, they'll inject you with these nanorobots that are like little builders. You know, I don't know, like, what's that guy, the kids like? Bob the Builder or something like that? I don't know. I don't watch those kids' cartoons, but they have one of these little builders. He's got all these little building tools, you know. I suspect it's a good cartoon. I hope it is. I know some friend of ministers are going to write to me and say, Tex, it's so-and-so. And that's good. Enlighten me on that. But in any case, that's what robots are going to do. Can you imagine that? Have a bad liver, have a bad heart. They'll go in there and start rebuilding it for you. Just, it's an incredible thing. So a lot of things are going on to vastly expand our physical and mental capabilities using human-created technology. I tell you, humans think they're really smart, don't they? Can you imagine? These are nothing to God, though. These are just small. This is literally kids' play. Hey, when I talked about Red Star over America and the origins and history of Barack Obama, I let you know that he didn't just come out of nowhere. He wasn't just a pretty face with a glib tongue that they said, oh, let's make this man president. Uh-uh. No. He's been watched and monitored for many years, guided, trained, manipulated, indoctrinated, made ready for the very position he's in at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Well, one of the things I talked about was the fact that Barack Obama, his mother, went to school in the Seattle, Washington area. Her parents moved to a place called Mercer Island, a little island off of the coast of Seattle, up in Washington State. And Obama's mother was sent to this elite high school called Mercer School. But I pointed out in my CD and audio tape expose that it was a communist school, an elite communist school. Well, I got a letter here from a person talking about Mercer Island. They're from Washington State. And they said, Dear Tex, you might want to know that Mercer Island is well known for being Seattle's main Jewish community. Ah. You know, this makes sense. Let me stop right here. Because I also said, I exposed the fact that famous White House counsel lawyer, now they were talking about being corrupt. You become the White House counsel under Bill Clinton, you got to be corrupt. Abner Mikva of Chicago says he's been helping to guide Obama's career ever since he got out of college and came to live in Chicago as a young man in his 20s. We've been watching out for him, says Abner Mikva. Mr. Mikva, who's, of course, Jewish, also says that Barack Obama will prove to be America's first Jewish president. I know people are doing flip-flops saying, he's a black man, Tex. No, he's half white. Some people are saying that his mother and his grandparents then are Jews. I don't know about that. I haven't been able to find any evidence of that, but they did live there on Mercer Island where it was known as a place of where most of the Jews live, is the main Jewish community. So this person says Mercer Island is not only Seattle's main Jewish community, the high school there, no doubt, was promoting Marxism. Well, that it was. Is it possible, the letter writer asked me, that Obama's mom is Jewish since she went to high school there? Mercer Island, the letter goes on to say, is also where Rabbi Daniel Lapin lives. Now, Rabbi Daniel Lapin is this guy that gets money from all these Christians, stupid fools who think they're helping Israel. God's going to bless them, you know, materially. God's going to make me rich because I help Israel. I give money to Israeli causes. I help them to kill all the Palestinians, so God's going to bless me. Oh, sure. Just wait for it. You're going to get a blessing, all right. You're going to get something. Well, anyway, this Rabbi Daniel Lapin, he's been on the 700 Club and all these places. He's a member, he's a head of one of these Christian Jewish friendship groups, which means he goes to Christians and says, don't you want to help Israel? Don't you want to be blessed by God for helping God's chosen people, Israel? Then send me money, me and my organization. Oh, yeah. Well, this letter writer says that Rabbi Daniel Lapin not only lives on Mercer Island, where Obama's grandparents lived, but he occasionally does a radio show on KVI Radio. He substitutes for the host, Kirby Wilbur. Wilbur, meanwhile, admits that he belongs to AIPAC, though he is a Christian. AIPAC is the America's most powerful, in fact, the most powerful political lobby group in the world. It's a Jewish lobby group. Very, very interesting. If you visit Mercer Island, Tex, you'll find that the island has a Jewish school and has large kosher food sections in its grocery stores. Oh, very interesting. Well, we go from Obama and Mercer Island and the communist plot to make Obama the first Jewish president of America to dogs. Here's something interesting from the Telegraph. That's a newspaper over in the United Kingdom. You know, I find so much news I don't find here in America. This is interesting. Police sniffer dog dies of nose cancer after sniffing cocaine. He died, this police dog, the sniffer dog, died of a rare form of nose cancer after years of sniffing cocaine during his work. I have a picture of him. Beautiful dog, Springer Spaniel. His name was Max, age 9. He caught the disease because he was trained to smell cocaine. I guess he found enough of the drug, the illegal drug, that it finally killed him. What makes you wonder about people? Here's a dog that after just several years of sniffing cocaine, and it didn't even get up inside of his nose, he just sniffed it outside, exterior to his nose, and he's dead from nose cancer. Now, if you know anybody out there that's taking cocaine or meth or some of these other drugs, they're sniffing stuff up their nose, oh my goodness. You might let them know that if old Max the Springer Spaniel died, age 9, after sniffing cocaine, and it never even got up his nose, what do you think's going to happen to them? I know a gentleman from, I want to call him a gentleman, I guess I should be generous, from California. And this man I hadn't seen for some years. When I had seen him, I knew he was not living for the Lord. He was living a pretty wild life, you know, wine, women, and song type of a life. And he came to a, believe it or not, came into a conference there where I spoke. He came there, he said, I'm a patriot, I'm not a Christian, I don't believe in all that Christian stuff. But I like you, Tex Mars, because you stand up for America. Oh, okay. And I went back about 3 years later, the man came in, and I'm telling you, there's a movie, I think, with Lee Marvin some years ago. I forget the name of it, but Lee Marvin, the actor, in this movie, it was an old Western movie, and he had somebody had bitten off his nose in a fight, and he had a metal nose. You know, and it was tied together had a little band, you know, that kept on. He had an artificial metal nose made out of metal or tin. Looks sort of odd, you know. Here's this cowboy rides up with a metal nose. He said, what happened to your nose? And he said, got it, you know, bit off in a fight. Well, this guy shows up and he's got his nose, some kind of a big bandage over it. To the next conference I did there in Northridge, California, a few years later, you know, I guess about 3 years later, and came to me and says, remember me? And I was looking at him, you know, well, he looked sort of familiar, but of course couldn't tell because his nose, he couldn't see his nose. I said, what happened to your schnoz, man? What happened there? Yeah, I really didn't want to ask him, but it was quite apparent, you know, this gigantic bunch of bandages was sticking out there. And he says, can I be frank with you? I said, well, sure. You know, we're sort of alone there, you know. He said, cocaine. He said, I've been sniffing it for about 5-6 years. Just totally broke down my nose. Just tore up my nose. I said, oh, my goodness. He's the eyes of plastic surgeons. Couldn't even do anything with it. I said, well, what are they going to do with it? He says, I don't know right now. We're looking at different alternatives right now, but it looks horrible. My nose is gone. It's different cocaine. So when I got this article about Max, the Springer Spaniel, and how he died of nose cancer after lived friends, my goodness. You know, friends, I want to tell you something. Living for Jesus is so wonderful. In this life, even if there was no heaven, and he'll give you the power to get all this junk out of your life. Now, I know a lot of you out there say, well, I knew a man, he took pot, he took cocaine, and didn't happen to his nose. Okay, well, fine. You know, I'm sure there are people out there nutty enough to put a blindfold on, you know, wear a straight jacket and drive their car 90 miles an hour down a freeway. I mean, yeah, I'm sure of that, but that's sort of, you're taking a big risk. This is Russian roulette with your life. Besides, most of these people are miserable. They're miserable, even if they have a nose after years of cocaine use or meth use. They're miserable, let's face it. But what happens to people who know Jesus Christ and live for him? I can tell you right now, they wake up every day alive. They wake up every day with a clear mind. They wake up every day with a smile on their face. I know, because I'm one of them. Okay, in a 6-1 ruling, the Supreme Court of Israel has ordered the government to acknowledge same-sex marriages. The government of Israel must now give tax breaks to and allow gay couples to adopt children. sort of a new Sodom and Gomorrah there. Well, the Jews here in America have been working hard on doing that very same thing in North America and Europe for a long time. It's the Jews of the ACLU and the ADL that are leading the charge for homosexual marriage right here in America. The Jews want to give it to us, and it's already a done fact, a done deal in Israel. And please, friends, don't ever call that place the Holy Land. That's not the Holy Land. Read the book of Revelation. Read about the two witnesses. They come and testify of Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And they're slain, the Bible says, the two witnesses sent from God in the last days. They're slain in that city wherein our Lord was crucified. That's in the book of Revelation. In Jerusalem. That's Jerusalem's the city that slays the two witnesses. And the Bible in Revelation, this great prophetic book, says that these two witnesses, their death will be celebrated throughout the world. People will be so happy they're gone. People having been convicted of sin and of Christ will hate them. And when they're killed and their bodies are lying in the streets of Jerusalem, says the whole world will be so happy they'll exchange gifts. It'll be like another Christmas, a devil's Christmas. And it says their bodies will lie in that in the streets of that city wherein our Lord was crucified, that is Jerusalem, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. Oh my goodness. That's a great secret. Tell an evangelical Christian that today, and their little face will shrivel up and they'll say, "You must be an anti-Semite." Well, here's the way you answer them. Say, no, Jesus was. Because it's his book of Revelation, not mine. He said in the last days, Jerusalem, that great city, also known as Mystery Babylon, read Revelation 17. That great city, read Revelation 18, that makes so much money off of ripping people off in the last days. That's right. The Jews have plundered the wealth of America and Europe and every nation on earth with this economic meltdown. It's the Jews, it's Israel, and it's banks that have done it, believe me. And listen to me, friends. God says that's Sodom and Egypt. What worse names? How would you like to live in Sodom and Egypt? That's not a holy land, Sodom and Egypt. Now, a person out there might say, well, Tex, Jerusalem is God's holy city. Friend, have you never heard of the New Jerusalem? Heavenly Jerusalem? There is God's holy city, a city built without human hands. The New Jerusalem, Heavenly Jerusalem. The Apostle Paul said that's the city that Abraham looked to. That's the city that Abraham wanted to go to. And the promise was given to him. The promise was given to Abraham. And Galatians 3 verse 29 says, and all who belong to Christ are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. God said, Abraham, I'll make you a father of many nations. And then the wonderful, most fabulous promise of all, I'll take you to heaven to be with me. And there you'll live in the New Jerusalem. You see, Abraham lived in a time when there was no country such as Israel. There was no city known as Jerusalem. He was a Babylonian from Ur in the Chaldees. But God said, I'll make a promise to you. Live for me, serve me, and your citizenship will be heavenly Jerusalem. Wow. That, my friends, is the Holy Land. Okay, our economy is eclipsing. I mean, our economy has been melting. Our stock market keeps going down, down, down. The banks are about ready to be nationalized. Hey, the airlines will probably be next. They're flopping on their back. Their stocks of JetBlue and Southwest Airlines and Continental and all the others, American, Delta. I mean, they're going down the tubes. They're going to need a big bailout before long. The automakers, General Motors, Ford, Chrysler, they're going down the tubes. They're probably be nationalized. I mean, we're going to end up here in a Leninist socialist government because the government's going to have to nationalize everything from the banks to the airlines to the automakers and who knows what else. Well, I want to talk to you a little bit about that. I did a program called Bubbleology 101. Very important program. If you don't have it, you'll want to order that from us. Bubbleology 101. And I said that the greatest bubble is the money bubble. And that's what Obama is throwing into the stock markets and into the banking situation. Trillions of dollars. We've already spent $10.2 trillion, I understand. $10 trillion. The money bubble. When it breaks, everything is over with. But here's something interesting. I was reading again the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. Wow. Let me just tell you what they say. They say, first of all, they brag in here, the Jewish rabbis who control the world secretly. This is their secret plan and agenda. They say, and I'm looking at protocol number 22, quote, in our hands is the greatest power, gold. In 2 days, we can procure from our storehouses any quantity we may please. Folks, they control the gold market. A lot of people say, Tech, should I buy gold? Well, I've always advised that if the Illuminati wants the price of gold to go up, it's a smart thing for you to buy. You know, about 2 months ago, I think it was, I was on the Alex Jones show. And somebody called in and asked about the economy and what they should do with their money. I said, take it out of stocks and buy gold. Now, for many years here in this ministry, I've always said, don't buy gold. It's controlled by the elite, and they don't want it to go up. Suddenly, I'm telling people 2 months ago, buy gold. It's going to go up. Why? Because the Illuminati elite want it to go up. They're buying gold, and it's going up. And I knew this, and I advised people to buy gold. Now, at the time, gold was in the, I think it was about mid-800s. Well, today, it went past 1,000. In fact, gold hit 1005 today, over $1,000 an ounce. I told you, my friends. Now, another thing is oil. When oil was $147, it's about 6 months ago, I published a report called Planet Petroleum, A Planet Awash in Oil. And what did I say in there? The world has way too much petroleum. I told you the price of oil was going down. And it fell from $147 a barrel all the way down to $32, sitting around $40 now. There it was. I told you. The planet is awash in petroleum. Everybody else said, oil's going way, way up. I said, no, it's not. There's too much oil in the world. It's a hoax. And it fell. It began to fall almost immediately from $147 all the way down to $32. A lot of people made a mistake by buying oil stocks. I told you. Same thing with gold. Listen to this. I want to read this because it's very important to show you everything has been engineered, this economic meltdown. This is from protocol number 21. Here's what the rabbis that run the world said. They said this, when we ascend the throne of the world, all these financial and similar shifts will be, as being not in accord with our interests, will be swept away so as not to leave a trace, as also will be destroyed all money markets, since we shall not allow the prestige of our power to be shaken by fluctuations of prices set upon our values. Do you understand what they're saying? Then they go on to say in protocol number 21 of the learned elders of Zion, we shall replace the money markets by grandiose government credit institutions. Did you hear that? We shall replace the money markets by grandiose government credit institutions, the object of which will be to fix the price of industrial values in accordance with government views, which we will control. Wow. They have engineered this crash. And let me tell you, every country in the world, their banks are going under, except one country, Little Israel. Little Israel. Is it because they have more money managers? No, it's because there are thousands of Bernie Madoffs running around the world. And they've stolen and stolen and stolen. Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns, Washington Mutual, Countrywide, Stanford Financial, the scams go on and on and on. Citibank, all of them. And here it was written in the protocols of Zion. No wonder the Jews hate these protocols. No wonder this is the most banned book in the world. And you heard it today on Power of Prophecy. This is Tex Mars. We got a lot more for you here on Secrets Volume 151. When we return, won't you stay with us?
Do the Illuminati elite covertly, that is secretly, worship sex gods of ancient mystery religions? In cities large and small around the world, sexual idols in stone are rising up, created by the Illuminati and its secret societies, and mocking polite society. Illuminist architect builders have vulgarly designed monuments that shockingly represent the actual phallus, the sex organ of the dark god whom they worship behind closed doors. I want you to know about this, friends. This worship of sexual artifacts, sex idols, and Illuminati architects have actually built buildings and temples and structures and statues of a sexual significance. I know it's coarse. I know it's vulgar. But it should be exposed. I mean, friends, you might someday take your family to Washington, D.C. There is the Washington Monument. And your child may ask you, Dad or Mom, why is it built like that, towering up into the sky? What's the meaning of it? Well, I think you should be very careful, friends. Don't say, oh, it's just towering up toward God. Oh, no, 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 no. There is a definite meaning to it. And you better know the meaning of these incredible sexual objects, such as the Washington Monument. Did you know that even the domes on state capitals in the U.S. Capitol have a definite sexual meaning? Yes, they do. We have a video out now that I've produced, and I spent a long time working on this video. It's 60 minutes long. We have it in DVD, DVD only. It's entitled Baal's Shaft and Cleopatra's Needle. Baal's Shaft and Cleopatra's Needle. It's a stunning video documentary, and it exposes and unmasks the phallic architecture and sex monuments of the Illuminati in the United States and around the world. You need to know this when you're watching television, when you're opening magazines, when you're taking trips. I think you're going to find this incredible phallic sexual architecture everywhere. Once you recognize it, then you'll know what's going on, by the way. And there is a reason for it. There is a satanic Luciferian purpose behind it all. And you'll realize that when you get this video. As far as I know, there's never been a video documentary that exposed the phallic architecture and sex monuments of the Illuminati. This is the first. Now, for $25, and please add $4 shipping and handling, a total of $29 postpaid, we'll send you your personal copy of Baal's Shaft and Cleopatra's Needle. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things I could have put in this video. I mean, you go over to India, and there is just, I mean, they have gods and goddesses doing the sex act, showing their organs and everything. No, I don't have that in this video. There are many things I could not put in this video. I must tell you, because I just determined I'm not going to be obscene. So the things you see here are the same things you see when you travel to Cleveland, Ohio, or Atlanta, Georgia, or Houston, Texas, or Kansas City, Kansas, or Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. In open, plain sight. Yet no one has ever interpreted these mysteries. No one up to now has never told you the esoteric, the covert, the hidden significance of the architecture and the symbology of it. But now Tex Mars does it on Baal's Shaft. That's B as in boy, A-A-L, apostrophe S, Shaft, and Cleopatra's Needle. By the way, you'll understand the meaning of those words, Baal's Shaft and Cleopatra's Needle as well. By the way, you'll see one building down in Florida among hundreds in this video that was actually voted by architects as the number one phallic piece of architecture in the continental United States. Architects actually voted on what piece of architecture they believed is the most phallic, in other words, the most sexual. And they voted this building in Florida, $29 total, postpaid, shipping, everything taken care of. Call us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. That's 1-800-234-9673.
9673. Ask for Bell's Shaft and Cleopatra's Needle. Or you can send a check or money order or cash, $29, to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733 in the United States of America. Again, $29, Bell's Shaft and Cleopatra's Needle. If you forget all that, say, text, send me the sex DVD. Send me the sex architecture DVD video. Send me the architecture about Cleopatra's Needle. Put something in there. If we'll recognize it and send that to you, okay? We have plenty of copies of the DVD. Unfortunately, we do not have this in the old VHS format, only in DVD. And show it to your friends. You may want to review it first before you bring in the kids, although I don't think anything, you won't see any bad things. You're not going to see any X-rated stuff. But it might be good to be a little careful before you bring the kids in to see it. I think that would be very wise of you. But it's not going to be some X-rated thing where your neighbors say, oh, no, you have X-rated material. No. That's not what it's going to be. After all, when you go to Washington, D.C., there it is, 555 foot tall, the Washington Monument, the phallus of Osiris, the sun god of Egypt, for everyone to see. Just has not been explained up to now in a video, but now it has. All right, let's return to our regular program. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy, Secrets, Volume 151. Hey, I promise you I'd tell you about how rich a man I am. I'm bragging about it. I'm bragging because, you know, I didn't do anything to deserve all these riches that I've got. Now, I want to explain it to you here. In fact, from God's Word, the book of Revelation in the last days, God actually has written letters to the seven churches. There's seven types of churches in the world, and many say these are church ages. But I believe you can find each of these kinds of churches even today. And God wrote these letters to these churches as warnings and as helps for them. And I think it's important for us to know about these letters that God wrote to the churches. Can you imagine God writing a letter to you? Shouldn't you pay a little attention to it? Oh, my. Listen to what he says here. Let's start off first with the church of Smyrna. He said, this is chapter 2, verse 9, to the church of Smyrna, he says, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. Oh, my. God is saying, I know how, as far as material goods go, I know you suffer tribulation, and I know of your material poverty, but you're rich. Oh, my goodness gracious. Woo, you are rich. He goes on to say, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Can you imagine? I know that according to the world standards, you're poor, you're suffering tribulation, but don't you know you're rich? Be faithful, and I, the Lord Jesus, will give thee a crown of life. Oh, boy. Well, we go right away to the Church of Laodicea. Uh-oh. Now, these are the only two churches I'm going to hit, but this is really powerful here. He tells the Church of Laodicea something a little different. Evidently, this church has not been quite as faithful as the church at Smyrna. He says, and this is chapter 3, beginning with verse 15, I know thy works. See, he told the church at Smyrna, I know your works. I know your works. God knows what you're doing for his kingdom, and he knows whether or not you suffer. He does. He knows what you have to go through, any agony you have to endure. I know thy works, he tells the church at Laodicea, but now listen to what else he says, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. He tells the church of Laodicea, I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. You're lukewarm. I would like it better if you were either cold or hot. He's saying being cold is better than being lukewarm, being a pretender, being someone who acts like they're a Christian, who claims to be a Christian, who claims to believe in God and Jesus, but really, you're not hot for God. You're not on fire for God. On the other hand, you're not a big sinner. You're not, you can say, well, I haven't killed anybody. I don't cheat anybody. I'm a pretty good person. Yeah, well, God doesn't like that. It'd be better if you were one of the biggest sinners in the world than to say, well, I'm a religious person. I'm a good person. I don't do a lot of big sinning. Mm-hmm. God doesn't like that. So then, says God, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Have you ever taken a drink of milk not realizing it was spoiled? Boy, you just spew it out of your mouth. Think about that. That's what God does to Christians that are neither cold nor hot. God can work with a person who's cold because often they're convicted of their sin. But a person who's lukewarm, they think they're okay. That's what most Americans are. That's what most so-called Christians are. They're lukewarm. And let me tell you something. You're a pitiful sight in God's eyes. It'd be better if you weren't even a Christian at all. You'd have a better chance with God. Then he goes on to explain it a little bit more. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Most Americans, they say, I've got so much. I've got all these things. I'm rich. I got a big screen TV. I drive a nice car down a nice freeway. I have a nice home. It's got air conditioning. I've got it made. Compared to most of the world, you do in material goods. I'm rich. I don't have need of anything. Maybe another bigger car, maybe more jewelry, maybe the money to go on a big fancy vacation this year. But generally, I'm pretty well off. I don't have need of anything. God says, don't you know you're wretched? You're miserable. You're poor. You're blind. You're naked. And you don't even know it. You're in rags and you don't even know it. So he goes on verse 18. God says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. These people are blind. The Laodicean church. That could be a picture of America today. Got a letter from a precious Christian sister yesterday. I showed it to Wanda. I show a lot of letters to Wanda. This one, really, I really liked it. The world may consider this woman poor. I don't know. It's possible. She writes, dear beloved Texan Wanda, Christian greetings to you both. She quotes the Bible a little bit here. She says, it was 10 years ago today I bought my first book, Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos. That's what we're into now, she says. Your monthly newsletter text, I greatly appreciate. She says, she goes on to tell me a little bit about her financial situation. She has a 34-year-old TV. That she will soon say arrivederci to, meaning goodbye. It's about to go out on her. And she says, so my only news is going to be via radio. She says, I've reached the age of 92. 92. I've been a widow for 19 years. I live alone in my home. My only income is below state and federal income standards. She says, the taxes, house taxes here in New Jersey are so high. And she goes on to talk about things, though. Yes, she has hardships. She tells me a little bit about her life in the past. She had missionary parents. And she went with them to live in the on the Canadian prairies. And she heard preachers when she was a young girl who inspired her. Preachers from England, from Scotland. Wow. For 70 years ago, she said, I supported a missionary, my husband and I, and he sent me a poem, and she sent me this poem. I'm not going to read it on the air today, but I should because it's a lovely poem, very encouraging.
She says, I'm always looking for trouble because I serve God. That's what, you know, they call a lot of God's servants troublemakers. Well, I guess she's one of them. Good for her. Then she talks about living back in those days with the Cree Indians in Winnipeg, some of the things she did there. And she signed her name Celestine, or just Granny. Now, some people read that and say, this poor lady, she's 92. She's been a widow for 19 years. And by the way, she did tell me she has a car. I think it's a 1973 car. She says it drives like a tank. I mean, it doesn't drive very good. This car, you know, that's 3 decades old. But she's 92. I bet she gets out there and, you know, tools around that car. Doesn't seem to have much. She's not like these people in Laodicea that said, I'm rich, increased with goods, don't need anything. But, you know, it's interesting. I think this woman's rich. God said to that church there at Smyrna, I know of your tribulation and I know of your poverty, but you're rich. I am too. I'm rich. I'm very rich. I was reading an article today about a man named Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos is the founder of Amazon.com, one of the 2 or 3 largest internet corporations in the world. An amazing man. He's done a tremendous job at Amazon.com. They say that Jeff Bezos, now by the way, he's Jewish, so he doesn't believe in Jesus. His net worth is some $12 billion. That's even after, you know, the stock market has sort of crinked. He's still worth, this Jeff Bezos, $12 million. But he robbed, $12 billion, excuse me. But he robs his employees. They said his employees, thousands of employees who work for Amazon.com, make an average of only about $8.50 an hour. They have no benefits, no medical, no retirement, no nothing. $8.50 an hour. That's about what, you know, a bagger might get at a, you know, grocery store. $8.50 an hour. He has $12 billion. His employees make $8 and something an hour. Now, some people would say Jeff Bezos is rich, and no doubt he lives in a fancy mansion. Probably has 2 or 3 executive jets. I don't know what all the man has. I don't know much about him. But $12 billion, well, let me tell you something, friends, that man's poor. He's poverty-stricken. I would have to say spiritually he's miserable. I would. And I'm going to go one step further and say a number of those employees, not many, but a number of them are rich. How could they be rich? They only make $8.50 an hour. They're rich. Yeah, they are. And I'm rich too. You can quote me on that. And I've got riches right here on earth God has given me. In fact, I became the equivalent of a gazillionaire the day that I met Jesus. Riches untold poured in my heart. And it was just amazing. It just filled up. It just kept, you know, just coming. The blessings. And ever since then, I've had so many blessings, I can't even explain it to you. Now, you know, I'm not crying poor mouth materially either. But if God were to see fit to take away everything I have and have to go live out of, in a tent or under the trees somewhere, I'm still going to be happy. Now, some people say that's not true, Tex. You know that's not true. Yes, it is. Because I'm a rich man. Going on to some news items here I really want you to know about. I was reading that Brigadier General Thomas Tinsley, the commander at Elmendorf Air Force Base, Alaska, died of an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. Well, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. He was commander of the 3rd Wing there at Elmendorf, Alaska. He was found shot with a gunshot wound to his chest in his home at the air base. Now, let me tell you something, friends. First of all, a man who's going to kill himself with a pistol does not shoot himself in the chest. No way. He puts the the barrel in his, mouth or at the head or on the, at the neck going upward, but he just does not shoot himself in the chest. Let me tell you a little bit about General Tinsley. General Tinsley had a very interesting situation. He's been base commander since May of 2007, but his previous 22-month assignment was as the executive officer to the Air Force Chief of Staff, General T. Michael Moseley. Now, in June of 2007, I think it was, General Moseley was forced to resign by the Bush administration, forced to resign as the Air Force Chief of Staff. Why? Well, do you remember those Dakota that I think was up in the Grand Forks, North Dakota, that air base? Those Air Force bombers that flew down to Barksdale Air Force Base, Louisiana, with those atomic bombs on them? And those bombs were headed to the Middle East? Now, they never told us exactly where they were going, but they claimed that those bombs were accidentally taken out of storage up there in Grand Forks Air Force Base and brought to Barksdale Air Force Base, Louisiana, and then they were found on the aircraft. Now, friends, the security is so incredible for atomic weapons, it didn't happen that way. Now, I'll tell you what really happened. Someone, probably Vice President Cheney or Bush, somebody there at the Pentagon, had ordered these atomic bombs to be shipped to Israel. I believe that. They were going to be shipped to Israel and given to Israel so Israel could use them in a nuclear war strike, probably against Iran or perhaps even Pakistan. Now, I think the truth of the matter is, from what I understand, General Moseley, Air Force Chief of Staff, stopped it in progress. He gave an order to the wing commander there at Barksdale Air Force Base not to let those atomic bombs leave that base. They were ready. That's the base where they fly and go over to Diego Garcia Air Base in the Mediterranean and then on to Israel. Now, I don't know why Israel supposedly has some 400 nuclear bombs of its own, but these might have been a new type of nuclear weaponry that they don't have. They may have been to be flown to Israel so that they could take them apart using our plans and then construct bombs just like them, okay? But there were probably a new form of nuclear bombs that Israel was going to have. They might have even been neutron bombs. These are a new form of atomic bombs that kill all the people in a great and wide area but leave all the property intact. Okay? But whatever the case is, I believe that the Chief of Staff, General Air Force Chief of Staff, General Moseley, fouled up the whole thing. He said, no way. And he ordered that those atomic bombs that were taken out of the inventory, out of the stock there at Grand Forks, be stopped at Barksley, in Louisiana. Now, they were so furious at General Moseley that he was fired. He was relieved from duty by the new, at that time, the new Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates. See, the whole thing ended up with Robert Gates as Secretary of Defense, new Secretary of Defense, with General Moseley and his executive officer, Brigadier General Thomas Tinsley, being fired. Now, Tinsley was fired as executive officer, but not forced to resign. He was allowed to be reassigned, and he became the commander at this airbase, Elmendorf, in Alaska. And then he's found dead. You know what happened. They're afraid the man's going to tell what he knows. He'll retire from the Air Force and tell what he knows, or maybe he'll even do it sooner. In fact, who knows, but maybe Brigadier General Thomas Tinsley, the commander at Elmendorf, former the executive officer to the Chief of Staff of the Air Force, maybe he was going to pay a little visit to Sarah Palin, the governor of Alaska, and give her a nice little briefing on the matter. What's really going on with the United States arming Israel to the teeth, with tens of billions of dollars of new weapons
all these top secret classified information material, including the newest of our nuclear bombs. And we're talking about World War III. And I believe that General T. Michael Moseley, who was forced to resign under pressure, is a hero. You won't hear about that in the press, but you heard about it today. And General Tinsley, my heart goes out, my prayers offered up to his family. Can you believe that? Wow. His own assistant, Colonel Wahlberg, was asked why it was that Tinsley may have killed himself. Was he under investigation for some offense, or was there undue stress? Here's what Colonel Wahlberg answered. Wahlberg is not only his deputy, but also was a personal friend of General Tinsley and lived just across the street from him in base housing. He said this, quote, "General Tinsley was under no investigation. As far as stress, sir, this job, by nature of being an Air Force officer in a nation at war, is stressful. But undue stress? No." His wife was shocked. She said, "My husband left no suicide note and gave no indication at all that he was going to kill himself." Well, of course he didn't, Mrs. Tinsley. He was murdered for what he knew. Well, Yale University has the Order of Skull and Bones in a little place called the Tomb next to a cemetery right off campus. And 15 rich boys get chosen every year. They talk about the chosen of the devil, to perform their little satanic rituals and to be initiated into the Order of Skull and Bones. Of course, Senator John Kerry of Massachusetts was one of these men, and so were many other senators and congressmen, including George Bush. Well, now, according to the Associated Press, the Indian Chief Geronimo, his family, has sued Skull and Bones because it says that the tomb, the secret society, they're keeping Geronimo's bones. They stole them. This is the 100th anniversary of Geronimo's death, this famous Apache leader. And Harlan Geronimo, his direct descendant, says, "Skull and Bones has my father's skull and bones. They stole them from the gravesite in Fort Sill, Oklahoma, way back in 1918. And now they're suing the Order of Skull and Bones to get back these remains." Okay. Well, it seems that Stormy Daniels, a pornographic film star, is running for the United States Senate from the state of Louisiana. She's running for the seat now held by David Vitter. And I think David Vitter was the guy that was exposed for having an affair a few years back. Well, now Stormy Daniel, this porn film star, she's a beautiful girl. I got a picture over here, beautiful blonde, just goodness gracious, a lovely girl. What a shame she's a porn film star. Well, she was asked about being a porn star and what did that have to do with politics, and somebody actually asked her, "Why do you want to get into a dirty field like politics?" And she says, quote, I quote her, "Politics cannot be any dirtier of a job than the one I'm already in." She has dirty work now, but, you know, politics couldn't be any dirtier than it. Well, I don't know, Stormy. I think you might find out that being a U.S. senator is a much dirtier job than being a porn film star. That's just my opinion. Neither one of the jobs is really worthy, though, believe me. Maybe you ought to look for another field of work. This is Tex Mars, dear friends. We've run out of time. I wish I had more time. Oh, my, I had so much to cover. But it's been great being with you and praising the Lord Jesus Christ and always telling the truth. Secrets, Volume 151, that is. My prayer is that you'll tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.